Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Today, let's talk about let the dead bury the dead and no looking back. I have a question for you. Have you ever noticed how people like to paint Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, as a loving, kind, sweet Lord who never said any hard or cutting things? Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, people like to say that about him. But he actually said some very strong words. Let's talk about some strong words from Jesus that we all should take very much to heart, those who are born of the gospel, seeking the kingdom of God every day. You know, it's a fact for the life of a true saint that's born of the gospel, that repents, commits their life to Christ. Check out the gospel at DontParish.com. We have to be ready to suffer loss and persecution, right? The Bible says without suffering persecution, everybody who lives godly is going to suffer persecution. If you're not being persecuted, you may not be living out the faith the way God called you to. Consider that. Now, most times, if you have family, this takes the form of strained family relationships when you draw close to Christ. And Jesus warned about this. Go read Matthew 10. He came to divide, separate families, mothers, daughters, fathers. And they'll be turning against each other. So the following words I'm about to read to you really should not surprise us. Only people that ignore what the Bible says are upset and offended by it. And it really helps us understand what it means to come and to follow him. The truth is, if you're in Christ, you can't walk closely with him and be closely united to worldly family or false religious, false convert churchianity family, if you're truly going to follow Christ and be faithful to him. Your priorities, your allegiance has changed. And a true saint sees that it's changed and blood family is no longer your focus that it once was, right? I mean, people have idolatry over blood family, but it's not so in the Bible. Do you remember the story? The account where Jesus' mother and brothers showed up at the door and they said, hey, your mother and your brothers are here. And he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And those that do the will of the Father. So Jesus really said it clear who his family was. I want to read to you Luke 9:57-62. And it came to pass that as they went out in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And another said to him, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Wow, what a powerful statement and area of scripture from Jesus Christ. What a statement he's made. Notice in this statement, it's not just let the dead bury their dead or let the dead be dead. It is let the dead bury their dead. So what Jesus is inferring is you have physically dead people and you have the living ungodly dead people. They're the spiritually dead. He says, leave them be. Let them be. Don't go back to them. And then he doesn't just say, you know, and then just go on live your life. He says, go preach the kingdom of God. So we have an order. We have a commission. We have a command. We don't just leave family to be all holy and pious, although it does make us holy. We leave family with a purpose, a higher calling for the kingdom of God. And that's very, very important. Nothing's more important than that. It's why Christ came, to show the glory of God, the kingdom of God, and to call people to him. We're to be tools of the Most High, and he requires his tools live holy, separate from those who are not his. We can preach the gospel to him. Must be very careful how united we are to the people of the world around us. If we choose life in Christ, we can't be swayed back to the dead or the unbelieving world and get tangled up with them. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, but no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that would be worldly family, false convert family, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we're soldiers of Christ. We're in a spiritual battle. We've chosen, as the Bible says, choose this day whom you serve. We've chosen whom we're going to serve. We no longer serve worldly family and false convert family. We serve Christ. And we go and do our ministry for him. We have a mission. And worldly family, false convert family, I promise you, are always going to keep you from your true calling in Christ. Otherwise, they would be following Christ biblically. Amen? Doesn't that make sense? I think it does. And that's why Jesus is so adamant here. We must choose him over them, over everyone else. Love the Lord thy God with all that you are, right? Matthew 22, the great command. Now, Sister Debbie and I have experienced this firsthand as worldly family and so-called Christian family, churchianity false converts. They've tried to pull us back to their family gatherings. They've called us back over illnesses, even shamed us for not going to funerals. But we've always resisted. And the reason is they hate God. They don't let us be who we are. They won't stand for the preaching or sharing of God's hope and truth with anyone. They tell us to come and leave Jesus behind. We won't do it. We love them very much, but we won't do it. So we have stayed out of that after we left them. All along, when we were closer to them, we preached the gospel to them. We entreated them to come, repent, follow Christ. None of them wanted to follow Christ. So we moved on after preaching the truth. And we leave them to go serve God, go seek the kingdom of God, and then we'll go to reach those other lost people who may listen. Now think of this. Don't be partial to your family. Your mother is no more important than the homeless lady in the gutter down the street to God. Yeah. Your father is no more important than the man sitting in jail for murder or rape who needs the gospel preached to him to save his soul. Partiality, God hates it. We have to be very careful that we don't put family, parents, children, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and give them great partiality, especially when they're not living for God, serving God biblically. We have to be careful and even be partial after that as well. So we've lived it. We've seen it. And I missed my own mother's death and funeral because we were separated over Christ. And Sister Debbie is going through that right now. And she is determined to do the same thing. As we honor Christ, we will not bend to wicked worldly family or to fake convert family who profane God with their rebellious lives, pretend to know him and love him as they live their own way, trampling the blood of Christ. We won't be part of that. They know the truth. They know we're there to help them if they repent. They know that we love them, but we will not partake in their sin with them. Now, we hear this all the time. People will say, well, you got to honor your parents. You know, the great command, the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments. Well, that's actually not true. We are not to honor sinful, rebellious parents that go against God. Jesus himself spoke of families leaving mother and father. He said, you'll be blessed when you lose them. I have an article at don'tperish.com on the teaching blog about honoring your parents. Like in a marriage, a wife is no longer bound to honor or obey a husband who is a cheating adulterer. Their covenant is over. Parents who are ungodly, disobedient, worldly, carnal, churchianity, trampling the blood of Christ, keeping worldly pagan ways, they're not to be honored the way God said to honor parents that are honoring him. That would make a mockery of God's truth. God's not partial. He's not going to look at your parents and overlook their sin just because they're your parents. And you shouldn't look at your parents and overlook your sin or their sin just because they are your parents. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So you may ask yourself, how in the world did you do this? How can you pull it off? How can it be done? Doesn't it hurt the flesh so hard? Well, let's keep reading in that passage. Let me read the rest of it. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. This guy just wants to go back and say goodbye to his family. The other guy wanted to bury someone who was dead or dying. This guy just wanted to say goodbye. And Jesus says, you're looking back. How much have we looked back? Think of that. How much have we looked back at family when we've repented and decided to follow Christ? How many times have we stayed with them longer than we should have or done what we shouldn't do just because we really love them? And that's sinful, all right? And if we've done it in the past, we had to repent of it. If you're doing it today, you need to repent of it. Look what Jesus says. He's a no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Fit or worthy, right? Now, if you know anything about plowing, I'm an old farm boy. Looking backwards as you're plowing forward makes your lines very crooked. Your field becomes a mess. And come harvest time, you'll have a hard time harvesting your crops because your lines aren't straight. You won't get a good harvest. Maybe example most people could relate to. Try driving a car forward 60 miles an hour while looking backwards. You're going to crash, kill yourself, kill other people. The key to doing this, the key to letting go of worldly family, worldly churchianity family, is turning to God in repentance, trusting in His Word and His Spirit, no longer looking back in the flesh. You've got to kill your flesh. Cry, suffer, go through a mourning period when you lose people. That's all okay and natural, but do it. Get it over with. Talk it out. Cry it out. Pray it out. And then get going. Don't be going back. Don't be looking back. You've got to rid yourself and move past the past full of all those dead people. Most of them, in fact, hate God's truth. They go to Sunday churchianity or they live and languish in their sin. They love their unrighteousness. You know, mostly the false converts. God hates religious hypocrites. I think you know that more than anything else. He hates hypocrisy. He hates workers of iniquity, Psalms tells us. We have to be very careful that we don't sit with those people and condone their sin. That's not going to help them. Again, having been through it myself, my recommendation to all of you that may be listening who want to serve Christ is to go do your ministry. That's live and preach the gospel however way you do it, however you're called to do it, man, woman, whatever, to all your family and friends, right, that you know. Then help the few that say, yes, I want to follow Christ. Of course, help them to repent and to serve Him. The rest, you got to let them go. You got to move on from them. You got to stop being partial. And you got to strive forward for the kingdom of God with all that you are, right? Plowing straight lines, not looking back, make you fit for the kingdom. Now, if people desire communication, that's okay. Just be careful. Don't let them pull you back from the kingdom of God if you can have communication and be who you are, but not the worldly false converts. Unless you're like a slave and you're in their home and you have no choice and you can't leave. We know some saints like that, and they still live separated from their worldly false religious families until their time to leave comes. They don't Bible study with them. They don't eat with them. They don't pray with them. So they're still separated. But if they're just worldly people and they want to stay in touch with you, live your life and preach the gospel to them. Be a light, be salt. But the false convert people, the false churchianity people, need to be told that you're claiming Christ, you live in sin and rebellion, I can't be united to you. And they need to hear that for the saving of their souls. Romans 16:17 says not to walk with such people, mark them and avoid them. This is going to help them see their sin. That's the whole point of separation, is so that people go, why won't you be united to me? Because you live in willful sin. We want you to repent. It's going to save your soul if you repent. And they can really think and ponder it. If you sit there holding their hand, there's nothing for them to think and ponder, is there? No, not at all. So it is possible. You can do it. And you just have to walk through it, trust in God, kill your flesh, and make it happen. And I can tell you this, if you want to see what you're really made of for Christ, you refuse to go to the dead people's weddings, their gatherings, their holiday, pagan, Christmas and Easter, and their illnesses and their funerals. See the anger, we've seen it. See the lies, we've seen it. See the attacks and hate you get We've seen it. See how they turn on you like a pack of wolves. Yeah, it's going to happen. But you know, God knows the truth. We rejoice to be suffered, to be persecuted and suffer for the cause of Christ. We got to put that behind us. We got to kill our flesh. We got to keep going, right? Jesus was maligned, lied about, and he did his job. He did what he was called to do. We must do what we are called to do. Rejoice when you're counted worthy, when you're fit for persecuted for righteousness, right? We have a new allegiance to Christ. And with this new allegiance, rejoice, you have a new eternal family. This is going to either be saints you know right here on earth with you, whether you're connected with them close or via online, or it's going to be saints that you know are scattered all over the world. Maybe you're not connected to them, but you know the remnants out there, or all those in heaven one day when we're all going to have a reunion. What a joyous reunion that's going to be with the great multitude. Revelation 19:6. And I heard it as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for our Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Talking about the great multitude that's going to be in heaven. So we have a family. We have an eternal family. That's who we're to focus on most of all. Now, I want to be clear. All of these relatives in our past, there's hope for them. We love them. There's hope for them, but you share the gospel with them. You let your life be salt and light. You move on from them. You don't sit and hold hands with people that reject the gospel and people that love their sin. Friendship and family evangelism is not biblical in any way. Like I said, sitting with your grandfather, your mother, your aunt, your uncle, while they want to live a worldly carnal life and hoping one day, because you stay close with them and condone all their sin and their worldliness and their churchianity, that some way they're going to accept Jesus. No, the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. The Bible says, let your light shine. Then when it's not received, move on and hope and pray that someone else comes in their life and they see the truth and they repent. And then if they ever want Bible study, you want to repent, we go rushing back to them, right? Like the prodigal son, he left. The father didn't chase him. The father saw him coming back because he repented and came to himself. The father ran to him. We'll run to any of our relatives when they repent and turn to Christ. That's what it's going to take. Otherwise, it's hopeless. So again, there's hope for them. Pray for them. Be salt, be light. But don't hang around with them sitting idle. Go serve the kingdom of God moving forward. Preach the gospel. Move on. As Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. And do not look back. One last note I want to talk about. Did you notice Jesus said if you're not fit, if you're not worthy, right? If you're looking backwards, you're not fit, you're not worthy for the kingdom of God. Well, this is a fact. We do need Christ's perfect righteousness. We can't get to heaven without that. We've all ruined our perfect righteousness. But we don't stop there. Most people, evangelicals, stop there. Oh, Jesus did it all. I don't have to do nothing. That's not what Jesus says. He says, if you're looking back, you're not fit. No matter what he did for you, you're not fit. You're not worthy. It's a covenant we're in. Right? Husband and wife both have to be faithful and obedient for the covenant to work. Jesus did his part. We must do our part. We don't stop seeking righteousness because Christ has become our perfect righteousness. Oh no, we must be righteous in our own ways, right? And the Spirit puts that in us. It's the fruit that you know him. He says you'll have much fruit. We're made for good works, Ephesians 2. Let me read this one. 2 Thess 1:5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. We have a part, saints. I'm just kind of throwing that in there because I'm constantly fighting these easy believe, faith alone, grace alone people that say, you don't have to do nothing. That's an absolute lie. If Christ is working in you, you will do a lot of things because of him working in you. It's the evidence that you have eternal life coming. So I want to encourage all of you that are born of him by the gospel, faith in his shed blood, perfect work, repentance, being born again, holiness and obedience as you strive to endure. Strive, saints, to be worthy of his kingdom and come. His kingdom is going to come. It's in us right now. He's going to come on earth one day. And this involves letting the dead family and friends go and not looking back. Repent of your past. We've all had to do it. Repent of old relationships and family, whether they're worldly or false churchianity. Once you've preached the gospel and show them why you're a new creation, let the dead go. Don't be looking back. Trust them to God. Give them over to God. Say, God, I've done everything I can. You've called me to go. And let God bring other workers. Let God's Holy Spirit work on them. You go be salt and light to other people in the world. And maybe you do it online and other family and friends see it. And you're still a witness. But you're not sitting there holding their hand as they sit in their sin. You won't find one Bible verse that tells you to ever condone anyone's sin anywhere. No, we're to move on. We're to seek the kingdom of God. We're to walk in righteousness. We're to warn all those living in sin that they must repent and turn. And we must show that we are fit and worthy for the kingdom of God as we're striving for the kingdom of God, because He is worthy. He's such a worthy Savior. Let us all be walking fit and worthy by letting the dead bury the dead and by not looking back. Seek the kingdom of God on that straight, narrow road. You can't stay on the straight road looking backwards. Repent. Obey the gospel. We're here to help you. Check out don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. We're putting much, much more on our website. There's a sister's blog. Audios, videos, articles. Pouring out the truth to encourage you to let the past go. Let this world go. Let the culture go. Let family and friends that don't want Christ go. Seek the kingdom of God. There's people out there in the world that need to hear about Christ. Love your neighbor. Love God most of all. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, when the Lord lets me come to you, go out and have a glorious day. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. God be praised.